If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Kings. I would like to read from 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. This is one of the more difficult chapters in the Bible to try to follow and keep up with, and even to really understand exactly what's going on in this chapter. I encourage you to go home and read and study it. There are really two completely different sermons on my heart and mind tonight. One of them, I think, is the main theme and the main subject that's found in this chapter. And I don't want to get started on that because that's not the one that's on my heart right now to preach tonight. But just study. I would ask you, encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 20. I encourage you to read and study it, and then maybe if you could tell me sometime during this week, what do you think is the main lesson that we need to learn from 1 Kings chapter 20? There's a secondary lesson that's on my heart that's really just pulling some words out of this chapter, but those words and the truth that's in those words are what's on my heart tonight. I would like to begin by reading 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 35. The Word of God says, 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 35, "And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him." The word smite just means hit me. This man of God just walked up to somebody. It would be like me walking up to Brother Richard and saying, "Hit me." And the man refused to hit him. Verse 36 says, "Then said he unto him," that is the man of God, said to the man he told to hit him, he said, "Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee." And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then found he another man and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him so that in smiting he wounded him." He didn't pull any punches, did he? He hit him, and he hit him so hard that he wounded him. And that's what this man of God wanted to happen, because he's about to go to the king. And he's about to present himself in a rather disguised way to find out if the king is going to really do what God tells him to do. And he could not go looking as the prophet or the man of God. He had to look like somebody else. And you'll go home and read and study and you'll find all that out. Down to verse 38, after he had told the second man to hit him, the second man did hit him and wounded him. Verse 38 says, "So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face." Now, he not only has been wounded, beaten up by this man that hit him, but he also put ashes upon his face. He disguised himself. And as the king, verse 39 says, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king. And he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone." That is, I was given charge of this man. I was supposed to watch this man. And while I was busy here and there, the man that I was supposed to keep and watch over, that man got away and the man left. The last part of that verse says, "And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him," that's what the prophet said, this is what the prophet said to the king, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to the house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. Correctly read, that's 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 35 through 43. Again, I want you to go home, read and study this chapter. There are a lot of different lessons in it. There's one particular lesson, and that's the words that this man said, the man of God, said as he was disguised, the words he said to the king. I want you to notice two expressions that he made. First of all, he says that his master, that another person told him in verse 39, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said," what's the next three words there? "Keep this man." Keep this man. That's the main thing that's on my heart tonight. Keep this man. Now, I know that you could go in the direction and think about, and we've been doing that for the last couple of Sundays, talking about the importance of us being our brother's keeper. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how we're to fasten our eyes on those that need help, and we're to work with them and labor with them and do everything we can to help those. Those who have physical needs, we're to help them with their physical needs. And then this morning, we tried to look at how we are to look after the souls of other people. How we as God's people are not only to be looking at the needs of the body, but we're to be looking after the souls of other people. That's our responsibility as the people of God. It's my responsibility as a pastor, but it's something that all of us need to be doing. That is, we need to be saving souls. We need to be working to save souls. But now, if we do just what I preached last Sunday morning in looking on the needs of others, and we're busy doing that, and then we look on all the different people that their souls are in a great mess, and so we're busy trying to help all those other people. Did you know that sometimes the people of God are just like this man? The Word of God says that he was told, "Keep this man," and then his response was, "While I was busy here and there, he was gone." Do you see the direction that I want us to look tonight? And that is that it's not just my responsibility to look on the needs of others, and not just to look at their body needs and their soul needs. But in all of that, and that is important, that's extremely important, but in doing all of those other things, it is important that I keep this man, that I keep myself. I'm talking primarily about the fact that I need to save myself from this untoward generation. That's what Peter said. Do I need to save my brother from their way? Certainly so. But the first thing I need to do is I need to save myself from this untoward generation. I need to be my brother's keeper, but I need to keep this man. And if I'm spending all of my time working on other people, not examining myself, and not looking at my own life, I can perish while I'm out there trying to work with other people. Did you know many preachers' lives are destroyed because they're busy? You notice what the man's excuse was? He said, "I was busy here and there." Do you remember those wordings there? I was busy. While I was busy here and there, he was gone. Did you know that's what happens in our lives? That we get so busy doing things for other people, and they may be good things, but if you neglect your own responsibility, your own personal relationship and fellowship with God, if you neglect that, then you're going to experience severe judgment. So the main thing I want us to look at tonight is that we keep this man, that we keep ourselves, that we save ourselves. Because nobody, no matter who else we are trying to save, if we're not saving ourselves and keeping ourselves, if I'm not keeping this man, do you know what other men are going to think when I go to them to try to save them and deliver them? All they're going to see is you have a lot of things wrong in your life. So the first thing I have to do is keep this man in order to be able to help and be my brother's keeper also. Back up in your Bibles now to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to notice verse 9. The main thought now that we're trying to look at is that God's Word teaches us, in this verse that we're fixing to look at especially, that God's Word teaches us, I need to keep myself. I need to keep myself away from bad things. And I need to keep my mind and my life and my heart centered on the things of God. And if I don't keep myself, then you know nobody else can help me. If I'm not working on myself, then nobody else can be of any benefit to me. Doesn't matter how hard you work with somebody to try to save them from the error of their way. If they're not trying to keep themselves, if they're not trying to help themselves, everything you're doing is in vain. And you and I need to work on, primarily tonight, what I'm talking about. I better work on keeping myself, and you need to work on keeping yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look please at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Here's what God said to the people of Israel. These are the warnings that God had to His people Israel and warning them against idolatry, that they need to stay away from those things. But the specific wording that He uses here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 is only take heed to what? Take heed to thyself. Isn't that the same thing as keeping this man? Keep this man. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Now, whose soul was I trying to talk about us looking after this morning? Looking after the souls of others. Winning souls. Converting our brethren from the error of their way and saving a soul from death. But now what's the Word of God also telling me? Not only do I need to be concerned about His soul, I need to be concerned about my own soul, and I need to be examining myself and considering my ways, lest while I'm busy here and there, I neglect my own life in service to God. So He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Can you think tonight, can you tell me some ways that you can go about keeping your soul diligently? Can you tell me some things that you know that you can do that will help you, keep your soul with all diligence? What are some things that you as a child of God can do every day and every week? What are some things that you can do that will help you keep your soul? Keep this man. What are some things you can do? Some of you just share with me. Say it again. Okay. Following God's Word. Look at God's Word. Study God's Word. You know, it does my heart good when people call me or talk to me during the week and say, one person said, I read from the book of Acts this week, and I read the first 13 chapters or 14 chapters, and he was excited about reading the Word of God. Did you know when you're just reading the Word of God on your own, reading it to yourself, just reading the Word of God, you know what you're taking heed to? You're taking heed to keep your own soul close to God. When you're reading and studying the Word of God on your own, nobody's making you study. You don't have a planned time that everybody says, okay, we've got to sit down right now. You don't have anybody sitting over you watching you and saying, you've got to do this now. It's just that you want to keep your own soul. You want to feed your soul. You want God to feed your soul. And so you spend the time and put forth the effort and the energy to study God's Word. And does that help you keep your soul? Does that help you keep your soul with all diligence? Yes, it does. That's taking heed to yourself and keeping thy soul. So you keep on reading and studying God's Word, you'll keep this man. Will you still be busy? Will you be busy here and there? Nothing wrong with being busy here and there. Are we supposed to be busy here and there? Yes, we're supposed to be busy here and there. But while we're busy here and there, I also, while I'm running from here to there and doing all the busy work that I must do and being busy about my Father's business, I need to be examining myself and looking on my own particular needs. Did you know it's important that you read and study the Word of God? So that's the first thing. I believe Brother Jerry mentioned that. Read and study the Word of God. What's another way that you can... The wording here is, keep thy soul diligently. What's another way you can keep your soul? instead of losing your soul? Prayer. Fervent, diligent prayer. How many of you think that you're falling short in the area of really diligently praying? How many of you feel like that's a major shortfall in your life? I think that's a major shortfall in my life. Sometimes when I think about all these different problems that people have, sometimes it just dawns on me, well, you silly fella. It's not what I think. There's a one word that I think of that God says you better not call somebody that. But I think, you fool. You fool. You have been so busy thinking about all these problems and worrying about all these problems, and you haven't been fervently praying about it. Will that help you keep your soul to stay fervent, stay in fervent prayer, be in fervent prayer? Yes, it will. Study God's Word. Be in fervent prayer. What's another way that you can keep your soul diligently? Besides reading the Word of God and studying God's Word. Do you need the fellowship of the brethren? Does that help you keep your soul? Does it make a difference who you stay around? The kind of people that you're around, does it help you? You know, it helps me. I enjoy Bible study about as much as anything. Brother Brian, Sister Valerie, and Sister Taylor were in our home today, and Brother Kelvin and Sister Leslie and the children, we were sitting around the table. I get so excited studying God's Word. There's nothing I'd rather study God's Word and try to teach God's people than anything I can think of in this world. That's just my greatest joy, is to study the Word of God. But you get around people that love the Lord, and it's a good way for you to keep this man. It's a good way for you to keep your soul diligently, is for you to stay around the right kind of people. You get around the wrong kind of people, you're asking for your soul to be destroyed. Keep thy soul by studying God's Word, yes. Keep thy soul by praying, yes. Keep thy soul by being around the right kind of people. Keep thy soul by being in the house of God. Is it important for you to be in the house of God? Brethren, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have been for 30 or 31 years. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for being in God's house, I'm afraid of what would happen to my soul. I could miss the next 3 months of being in God's house, and I'll tell you, I think I might be gone. My soul might be destroyed. I need to be in the house of God. I need the commitment that I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm going to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. Why? Because it's part of what's necessary to honor God, but it's also what's necessary to keep my soul, to keep this man. And some people say, well, I was too busy and I had this. Well, that's what that man said, isn't it? I was told to keep this man, but I was busy here and there, and he was gone. And that's what will happen to people's lives, is their lives will just be gone. Their souls will just be gone because they got so busy here and there. They didn't have time to be in God's house and be with God's people. Keep thy soul diligently. Keep thy soul. Keep this man. Keep this man. Keep this woman. Am I saying you don't have to worry about nobody, anybody else? Am I saying don't worry? No, I'm saying you got to do all those other things. I did, it's amazing how God works. I didn't plan this way. I didn't plan any of this. This is not a series of sermons that I planned. It's just that as I preach, I see, well, my goodness, this ties in with what we just looked at. This ties in with what we just looked at the two Sundays before. Keep this man is talking about me keeping myself. I need to do all those other things, but I need to also be keeping myself. Keep thy soul with all diligence. Notice the rest of that verse. Listen again, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, what are you starting to do when you're thinking about all these things you've seen? You know what he's talking to them about? He's telling the children of Israel, you better think about the things you've seen. You've seen the power of God. You've seen the glory of God. Well, are you different than they were? Have you seen the power of God? Have you seen the glory of God? Have you seen miracles performed in your life and in the lives of people around you? Have you seen the power of God? Well, you know what God's saying you better do? That's the way he's zeroing in right here. You want to keep your soul? Well, you better be thinking about what good things, the marvelous things God's been doing for you. And then you better teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Now, what are you doing there? Is that going to keep your soul? Yes, it is. You start telling people about how good the Lord has been to you and what great things the Lord has done to you, it'll help you keep your soul. But it'll also have an effect on saving the souls of your children when you're talking to them about what great things God has done for you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, of course, was an apostle, and as an apostle, he didn't have to worry about keeping his soul, did he? You know, he was an apostle and a great man of God and a preacher, and you know, preachers just don't fall by the wayside and their souls aren't destroyed. I'll tell you, if you believe that, you're wrong. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God. The Apostle Paul was concerned about the bodies of other people and supplying the needs to other people as they stood in need. The Apostle Paul was concerned about the souls of other people. He said, I've become all things to all men, if by any means I might save some. He wanted to save his brothers and sisters in Christ from the error of their way. He wanted to save their soul. But you know what he did continuously while he was out there saving souls and working with other people? You know what he was doing? He was keeping who? He was keeping this man. He was keeping himself. Thank you. He was keeping himself. He was watching himself. He was thinking about, what am I doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Where am I going? Where is this path going to lead to in my life? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, here's what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, but I, what's the word next word there? But I keep. What are we talking about? Keeping who? We're talking about keeping this man, keeping ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see what he says? Paul's saying, I, though I'm an apostle, though I'm a child of God, though I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, in spite of all those other things, he says, I can become a castaway. What would cause him to become a castaway? If he stopped keeping this man. If he got busy here and there, he could lose that man. Though he might be working with other people, he could lose his own soul. And so he says, I keep my body and bring it in subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become a what? A castaway. If you don't keep this man, if you don't keep yourself, that's what will happen to you. You will become a castaway. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. Keep yourself with all diligence. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's an expression that he uses here as the Apostle Paul. Paul was talking about himself there in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I'm going to keep myself under subjection. But he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's writing to the young preacher Timothy. He says, you know, Timothy, you better keep yourself pure. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. He's still telling Timothy now, you better keep yourself. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, the Word of God says that as Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. And then he says, keep thyself pure. You young people, listen to me. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old or 15 years old or 18 years old. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. You save your body. Let me tell you, if you don't keep yourself pure, and I'm speaking right now about sexuality, if you have sexual relations before marriage, it'll haunt you the rest of your life. Or it can. Keep yourself pure. It's important that you keep yourself pure. Because if you don't keep yourself pure, nobody else can keep you pure. Parents can watch their children. They can watch their children. I've had parents tell me that I've talked to about their children having sexual relations. I've had parents tell me, oh, they can't do it. I watch them all the time. Oh, what a fool that, what a mistaken person that is. Listen, brethren, you think you watch your, it doesn't take 15 minutes. You watch them all you want to. You cannot watch your children all the time. So it's important that you instill in them the importance of them keeping their own bodies, them keeping themselves pure. You do everything you can to help them. You guide them. You teach them. You instruct them. But you ultimately need to be sure they understand it's up to you to keep yourself pure. Now, that's in just one tiny area of our lives that we need to keep ourselves pure. But we need to keep ourselves pure in every area of our lives. Not just in that one area. And so all of us that are concerned about the teenagers and what might enter into their hearts and minds and souls, we need to understand anything can affect me and keep make me not be pure. So I need to keep. What did Paul tell Timothy? You think Timothy got his feelings hurt when Paul wrote to him and said, keep thyself pure? Well, you know, Timothy could have responded, well, Paul, I'm surprised you'd even think such a thing about me. Why would you even think that I wouldn't keep myself pure? You know, sometimes people get so arrogant and high-minded and haughty, they don't think that they could actually destroy their own lives. And Paul was burdened. He loved this young preacher. And so he wrote him, and in writing him, he said, you remember to keep this man. You remember to keep yourself pure. You work with all the other people. You labor with them. You do everything you can to help them. But you better not forget to keep yourself pure. In your mind, and in your body, in your actions, in your lives, keep thyself pure. Go with me to one other scripture. Just turn about two pages past, three or four pages really. James chapter 1. James does an excellent job of summarizing what pure religion is. Of course, it wasn't James's wisdom that did this. It was the inspiration of God. But listen how James just summarizes it. This is probably to me. What's my favorite book of the Bible? Does anybody here know what my favorite book of the Bible is? Thank you. That was last Sunday night. Very good. I'm going to tell you, if I could only have three verses that I could get across to all of God's people, here's the three verses. The first one is Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. That's the most important to me. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 is very, very important. I'm not going to read that to you right now. But the second most important to me is James 1, verse 27. James 1, verse 27. And here it is. James 1, 27 says, pure religion. You can have all kinds of religion. Oh, they've even made witchcraft religion in America. Can you imagine a nation being so foolish as to make witchcraft a religion? But that's what this nation has done. All kinds of religion. The Apostle Paul had religion before he ever knew Jesus Christ, didn't he? He followed the Jews' religion. He turned his back on that religion. You can have all kinds of religion. But here's what God's Word says. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and... Now, what I preached last Sunday morning? I didn't say all this till just now. All right. Last Sunday morning was, now you go out and visit. You go out and do things for other people. You take care of their physical needs. You look at their souls. You watch after them. Here's pure religion, is to visit the fatherless and widows. And then what's he do? Come back to tonight's text and says, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Ooh, that's pretty. That's just everything right there. And I used to get tickled at my children. Every time we'd go home, I'd say, what did I preach about today? And in one sentence, they'd do about like this right here. They'd just say, well, and they'd just summarize everything. And I'd tell Teresa, I said, you know, it's amazing that a child can say in 15 seconds what it took me 40 minutes to say. Just summarize it all. That's what this verse does. It summarizes it all. Look out after other people. Visit the fatherless and widows. Help other people. And keep thyself. Keep thyself. unspotted from the world. I hope that God will help us to do everything we mentioned last Sunday morning and this morning, and that we will do what God's Word says about keeping this man, lest we be busy here and there, this man perish, is my prayer for Christ's sake.